back to HTP Podcast, where we go beyond just strokes and strategy. And our main mission is to change the culture of tennis, having one conversation at a time through a more positive and holistic approach. And today, I'm so excited to have my really good friend, Amanda. We have known each other forever. I mean, I remember playing like girls' 12s national tournaments and seeing you there, and even to the point where we traveled together to Australia playing pro tournaments, and now, you know, being tennis coaches, even now we're still like meet each other. So I'm so grateful that like our friendship continues, and it's, you know, it was on the court and now we get to continue it off the court.
For having me, it's always a pleasure, and I'm really lucky I get to stay involved in tennis still after playing. So I grew up through the junior system. I competed, started tennis at the age of 8, probably wasn't actually any good by definition of, I guess, what we consider talent, probably until close to 12 or 13 when I eliminated the other sports I was playing and focused on tennis. Competed at the national level, got to some pretty high rankings in the top 5 and 10 by the time I got to the 16s and 18s. Was lucky enough to compete at USC with a scholarship. Throughout that time, I was also kind of dabbling in playing some pro tournaments here and there. Then after I graduated with my degree in psychology, I decided to play full-time for 3 years. I got to about top 300 in the world, which is always good enough to tell people about that you did it.
Yeah.
But not good enough where you would have seen me on TV doing anything. But
right.
But I've gotten kind of, yeah, the full circle of the tennis experience, and the pro tournaments I got to play were mainly at the challenger level, every once in a while getting to play one of those bigger WTA tournaments, but never got to the point where I was playing a slam. But I'm very grateful that I got to, you know, take tennis to its highest level, and it's something that we've, you know, dedicated our whole lives to. So grateful to have the whole experience.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, there are so many different pathways in tennis too, even as a competitive junior and then going into college, and yeah, sure. Really being fortunate enough to play professional tennis. I do think it's funny though, because you're like, when people ask you, and I get the same thing, they're like, oh, are you in TV? Did you play Serena Williams?
Right.
I'm sure you get those questions too. And
absolutely.
It's like, sometimes I'm like, oh, well, I was on TV in Mexico.
Yeah, no, our colleague Michael Costa, who's now in, you know, this comedy world, has a great bit where he talks about how like people ask him that, and he says like, did you play Wimbledon? He's like, no, they don't let 800 people into Wimbledon.
Exactly. Yeah. Tennis leads to so many opportunities. What mm-hmm. were, do you feel like some of the key opportunities that tennis gave you, whether it was playing or just even some like really life skill lessons that tennis taught you that then really allowed you to approach things differently? So whether it was like on the court or off the court, what were those opportunities?
Sure. I mean, just so many. I mean, tennis is so interesting in that it is a sport that you compete in by yourself. So to be out on a court and have to problem solve, to have to be, you know, deal with really tough situations, things like, you know, everything from cheating to like, you know, things that are not in your control. And so to be able to handle those things kind of trains you to be an adult from a very early age, I feel like. It gives you that sense of maturity, important decision-making, again, problem solving. And especially at the college level, I mean, you're asked to make a decision about where you're going to live, where you're going to study, what you're going to study, how, you know, how strong is your, you know, like your tennis program, how, what's your commitment going to be like. You're asked to make all these really important decisions, you know, before the age of 18, you know, having all the things that you kind of get thrown in for, you know, tennis. Honestly, I wouldn't say I'm the most mature person on earth, but I would definitely think it taught me how to handle people. Mm-hmm. It taught me how to, again, look at things that aren't in my control and be able to step back from them. I'm still working on that one, but yeah, I think overall, just all those experiences basically just as a person just made me grow up at a like, very, very early. It's a, you know, experience that not everybody has. Grateful for it, but definitely tennis is not for the weak. It's not when you're doing those things by yourself, to travel by yourself. You have to, you know, my mom was my business manager, I guess, for a bit, but after, you know, you taking care of your own arrangements and tennis, as you know, like at the pro tour, like you're handling all your expenses, you're doing all these things and your balances with what you're spending on training and all that stuff. So yeah, I would say overall, it makes you be an adult real fast.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, you really have to become independent and start to think about, when you go to tournaments, like, where am I actually going? Like, what city? Is it a safe city? Is it not? Like, do I need to grab a taxi? I mean, back then, like, we didn't have Uber. Now Uber is like
Right.
makes everything more convenient. But at that time, it's like, do I rent a car? Do I take a taxi? How far, is a hotel to the tennis courts and the airport? And thinking about all those things at a really young age, I do think sets you up for a lot more success later on. What were some of the downside of tennis, or, some of more of the negative experiences that happened for you as a player?
Honestly, like the biggest negative is just how lonely it can be. If you don't have means to have a team travel with you. I mean, college was an interesting experience because at least you had your team and you had your coaches, but at the end of the day, you're still, there for you. especially once I started touring full time, as much as I love competing, it was really difficult to go to different places every week by yourself and try to figure out how to navigate these cities. And, even if you travel with someone, if, you lose and they win and you are, looking to go on to the next place and they can't, it's just staying in different hotels every week, which is why sometimes, we got the opportunity to stay. There were lovely families that would volunteer to take us into their home sometimes, which changed, I think, at least my whole experience. But overall, just how between that and even just on the court, how, after match after match after match after dealing with, all that grinding by yourself, it can definitely make someone feel very isolated and very lonely. And I definitely hit that place at many different times over the different parts of my playing career.
I agree. I definitely went through the same thing. It does become really lonely. I mean, I remember when you talked about that, you may travel with someone and then they go to another tournament. I remember playing in the finals in a 10K in Mexico, and I had traveled with a girl and she had lost. I got to the finals and I was like, how am I going to get to the next tournament? Because it was just
Right.
at this point, I didn't have like a mom or dad, traveling with me, didn't have a coach. And luckily, thank God, like the person that I was playing in the finals was another American. And I was like, can I come with you and your mom? Like,
Right.
I was like, are you going to the next tournament? Because, and at least they,
Yeah.
I like, you speak enough Spanish to like get by. But in certain scenarios, it's like you kind of need someone to speak more. And thank God she did. And
Yeah.
it was Julia Cohen and whatnot. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, thank God you and
Yeah.
mom were there, because I really don't know. And you're exhausted, right? So you're also not
Right.
like thinking clearly, because you've traveled, you've played, you competed, like everything. Like, you're just physically shot, you're mentally shot.
Yeah.
How the heck do I get to the next location?
Yeah, that and just like again, and emotionally, I mean, I definitely also can like remember that. Like, I had gotten into Quebec one year at the very last minute, and that's a bigger tournament.
Yeah.
It's exciting to be able to go, but because I got in last minute, I was going there by myself and
Yep.
staying by myself. And this is, a tournament at the level like one of your, at least one night of your hotel is being paid for. There's like, but I got there and I practiced, and then I went back to my hotel. I can distinctly remember just like after like 2 hours, just like crying, just because I was fine. I'm just like, that's not my personality. It's hard
Yeah.
after a while to be by myself. And so yeah, it is, it's amazing how lonely it can definitely be and how that can impact you both in just like logistically, emotionally as a person. It definitely takes a toll on you after a while.
Yes, it does. It really does. That the grind is real in that case. Like,
Sure.
it does take a huge toll on you. If there was someone back in your shoes going into the pro circuit, and you talked about the loneliness, and what would be one or two advice that you would give that person who is doing that now?
Yeah, that from that specific transition point, I think honestly, it's to be realistic. To go in with, here are my goals. Here's what, with the means I have and the resources I have, this is what I can do. You don't have to put a time limit on it, like, hey, I'm gonna compete for like 3 years and whatever. But like, I probably should have known at least after a while, after like, I didn't really want to travel that much internationally and some other things. I probably should have given myself a couple red flags on, hey, like this is great, but this might not be your long-term game. And I think if I would have been a little more realistic about that earlier, maybe, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have felt as much pressure. But yeah, be realistic about the amount of the work that you're going to need to put in and where to be able to be successful, who you're going to need on your team? Who are you going to be able to have a team? What are how far are you realistically able to travel and willing to travel? Do you need to travel with a group? Are you okay traveling by yourself? Do you really need to save up and be able to travel with a coach? Like, set yourself up for success, because otherwise it is really hard to learn as it, you can, but it's hard to learn as you go, because at some point you're going to hit a wall, get really frustrated, and either get injured, you know, be sad and quit early. Things that can be alleviated or at least realistically managed if you have certain expectations or certain goals going in, because otherwise, yeah, it's a tricky life up. It's very rewarding. Again, like I said, I'm so grateful I got you get to compete at that level. If you can, I definitely think you should if you love it, as long as you can kind of keep in mind what it really means to compete at the professional level and how that will be rewarding for you specifically.
That's so good. Yeah, I like agree. I don't have anything else to add. Like, so spot on. And I would say I was also not fully realistic either. And I think that can play a huge part in like where you're actually going to fly to, what tournaments you're going to play, and really like plan it out a lot better in, you know, going through periodization cycles and whatnot. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, I'm gonna go to this tournament. Now I'm gonna go to this tournament. Okay, there's not as many people signed up for this, I can get points in this, and like that's only going to last for so long, and then you get burnt out that way. I know, like, I didn't do that for every series of tournaments, but a couple that I did, I was fried at the end, because it was like, okay, there's not a lot of people signed up for this one, let me go. And it's not always the ideal way to do that. So yeah, you're so spot on that. Amanda, thank you so much for your time today. I definitely want to have you on and hear more about your coaching experience, obviously what you're doing now and coaching and a lot of other things. But so I'll definitely love to have you on. And likes these interviews, please continue to subscribe, follow, share, and like.